Experience a full mind, body, and spirit approach to living your best life. Learn how to achieve optimal health, wealth, and happiness. This is your journey to wellness and abundance. You are listening to Mind Over Matters with your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen of the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I've got a great, great guest today, but I want to start the show reminding you that this show is about challenging you to think differently about how your life can be different, how your relationships can be improved, how your health can be improved, all by taking a holistic approach to your life. That's really looking at the different areas of your life, the different aspects, and really asking yourself, you know, what's working well, what maybe needs to be strengthened, and then really putting some time and effort to strengthen the areas that you're wanting to make a difference in. So, as you know, I'm a double board certified integrative clinical and now interventional psychologist. I've got a postgraduate specialization in functional health and wellness. I'm also a certified wellness instructor, best-selling author, and the director of the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness. And so we are really taking a holistic approach, mind, body, and spirit. And so we're going to be talking about your spirit today. But, you know, the subject matter expert definitely knows that, you know, when we take care of our spirit, we can take care of our mind and take care of our body. So to that end, I want to ask, can love actually be harmful? I know it sounds kind of like a paradoxical question, right? But is it possible you can love someone so much that it actually makes things worse when you think you're trying to do right by somebody? Could you be an enabler? And, you know, hey, exactly what is an enabler? Well, I've got a really great guest on my show today, as I've shared with you. She's the author of Enabling Love. She also hosts a popular blog by the same name, Enabling Love. Welcome, author Laura McElpain. Laura, tell us a little bit about what Enabling Love is. What is this about? And, you know, how'd you come to write that?
Well, good morning. Thank you for the welcome. And just so you know, it's McElpain.
McElpain, thank you.
We're a proud Scottish family.
So. McElpain, I love that. McElpain.
Yeah. So as I may have mentioned to you before, this blog was born out of a painful place in my life. When years of chaos and calamity in my family had come to a screeching halt, when my son, particularly one of them, had quite an addiction to heroin and any other thing he could get. The turmoil was overwhelming. And I had spent years, like probably most families would, trying to circumvent, trying to run around and ahead of them to prevent the next big fallout. Anything we could do to preserve. We run around trying to save the lives of our loved ones while we're negating our own. And that you don't really see very clearly sometimes.
And I think that comes with being a parent, though, right? Because instinct is to just protect and save.
Yes, it is. And, you know, a lot of people through the years of going to different groups in recovery would say things looking at me, perhaps, and saying, well, you know, you're an enabler. You're the finger pointing you. But the fact is, I always say, where's the line between parent, mother, and enabler?
It's blurred.
Yeah, when your child is ill with any other thing, sadly, many are struggling battles with cancer, children's leukemia, different things. I know someone in the battle right now with her son. You would turn over every rock, everything you could find to save the life of that child. Well, it's no different when you look at your offspring, your child, your family member, and you look at them and think, what am I doing? What am I missing? Mm-hmm. I've got to do this, you know, and it is a mindset that can really derail you. You don't see it that way, but that's exactly where you are in life. You've got to do whatever you think you can do to save the life of that child.
So you then, through this journey, through this just these ups and downs, this wild roller coaster of I'm sure love and fear, anger, hurt, just all of it, you know, it sounds like you started writing as a way of just, you know, kind of coping your way through this. Is that how the book Enabling Love came about, or?
Well, that's exactly right. I actually, when I finally started to go to some recovery meetings, which took a long process for me to go to one, and began to settle down a little bit in my spirit, in my being, and my thoughts, I thought, I've got to get, you know, it's a poison in you. And it's like, what am I going to do with this? Mm-hmm. And I've always kind of liked to write. So I began to write my blog first. And sometimes now when I look back at the very beginning, it was very raw and very basic. Mm-hmm. But it was just getting this out so that I could begin to have a little peace, have a couple hours of sanity in my life. Whatever the benefit that I was getting far exceeded the pain that I was trying to deal with. And so I began to write more. In the beginning, I was writing probably several times a day.
Wow.
Just to, you know, with the next new thought, the next new process. And so it started to bring around some well-being, though, that I didn't even recognize at first. But all I know is it began to put my thoughts and my feelings into a format that I could grasp and start to begin to see and heal. And others that I was in the group with, if I shared anything with them, we all connected because we were in the same boat.
Mm-hmm. So for you, it was very cathartic and just, you know, being in a space that was safe and allowed you to be vulnerable and open up really allowed you to receive, you know, some of the healing and the support and the love from, you know, the other members of your group as well, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it did.
Yeah.
And, it was a great, thankful place to be because, honestly, when you're in this battle, you watch others killing themselves, basically, and you just feel so hopeless.
Oh, absolutely.
And finally, this begins to bring some hope because you begin to value your own life. A lot of people, I think, devalue the value of them, you know, mm-hmm. of themselves, because they're just so sure they want the person they love who's drowning to feel worthy and valued and loved, that you'll do it at any cost, just about.
So this is really the time when you were realizing, oh my gosh, I got to put my own oxygen mask on first. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
yes.
It sounds like your writing, you know, and certainly your group work, you know, connected you with people. I know, you know, you've shared with me, you know, prior to the show that, you know, someone, you know, would write you and say, you know, I was so sure that no one understands my life until I read your post about XYZ. And so it sounds like you started getting a lot of that as well.
Yeah, you know, it really helps when you get the feedback because you begin to realize that the experience you had was not for nothing, if you know what I mean, because it feels like it is at first, but when you can throw out a lifeline to someone else and you don't know who's going to catch it, but they also then can begin to put feet under themselves and, you know, take those little steps, and sometimes they're backwards, but you're taking them
mm-hmm.
And begin to bring some stability to yourself and some solid earth under you. It's really, that was quite healing for me just in the responses that I was getting back.
So really, in focusing on trying to heal your own life, you started touching the lives of others. And that,
evidently, yeah.
Yeah, and that's exponential. You know, it's said that, you know, in our lifetime, you know, we accidentally influence about 10,000 people. But, you know, I have said on other shows, imagine the impact when you begin to live your life on purpose, when there's intention and passion behind, you know, what you're doing. And it really, it could be what you're doing in any, you know, area. It could be, you know, in writing. It could be as a therapist. It could be as a mechanic. But we all touch lives. Because here's the thing, we're all interdependent. But to that point, too, whatever was happening with your son, you know, it wasn't just affecting him. It was affecting you. It was affecting the rest of the family. It was affecting his friends and, you know, the people within your community directly and indirectly. So, you know, we have to remember that we're interdependent. And with that, too, I think it helps to remember, because we are interdependent, we've got a support system if we'll allow ourselves to seek that out. And that's something I want to talk more about when we come back. I want to invite you to tune back in. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I've got a very special guest, author Laura McAlpin. She is the author of Enabling Love. She's got a book. She's also got a blogspot. It's enablinglove.blogspot.com. And so when we come back, we're going to be talking more about Enabling Love.
The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damaged tissue, restoring normal function.
The procedures were easy, comfortable, and left me feeling pain-free. I can dance, run, and jump again if I want to.
Three decades of pain in my back and neck injuries I suffered in active duty. The doctor has me nearly 100% pain-free now, and I never thought that was possible.
Trust the thousands who got their life back. Book an appointment today.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Noah, and you're here listening to the show today with my very special guest, Laura McAlpin. She's the author of Enabling Love. She's author of that book as well as the blogspot, enablinglove.blogspot. If you've missed any of the show, you can catch a rebroadcast on this great station, or you can check us out online at www.thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. You can also check out a rebroadcast on our Facebook, on our YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter. We invite you to do that. If you've got questions or comments, or if you're experiencing some of these issues yourself and you feel like you need to access a support system or find a good therapist, please give us a call, 630-980-1400. Again, 630-980-1400. We are doing telehealth consultations if that brings you peace of mind. Also related to your health, I want to invite you to join us on Facebook Live every Thursday in April. So Thursday, April 9th, actually, we will be doing Understanding and Reversing Thyroid Disorders Thursday, April 16th. It's Resolving Depression and Anxiety with TMS. And then Thursday, April 23rd, Resolving Autoimmune Disorders. It's a Facebook Live. That is 6 p.m. That is facebook.com/thecifhw. Now more than ever, it is imperative that you take care of your health, you know, because your health affects the health of your loved ones, your neighbors, and now we know the whole world. So please join us Thursday, April 9th, 6 p.m. on Facebook Live. It's facebook.com/thecifhw for Understanding and Reversing Thyroid Disorders. And then April 16th, Resolving Depression and Anxiety with TMS. April 23rd, Resolving Autoimmune Disorders. Okay, we encourage you also to visit ti22nutrition.com. Check out the power packs, especially the immune boosting power packs. These power packs were formulated by some of the leading physicians across the country. They are all pure, they're potent, they're designed to work synergistically together. And so TI22Nutrition.com, all high-grade, pharmaceutical-grade, physician-only supplements designed to strengthen your health as well as strengthen your mind. So, and finally, I want to give a shout-out to Western DuPage Special Recreation Association. They are weathering the storm, and they are still intending to provide their summer program. So they are in need of some general staff volunteers. Where can you have the most fun working this summer? It's at Western DuPage Special Rec Association. So at Western DuPage Special Rec Association, you can make this summer the best ever for children, teens, and adults with special needs. They're looking for enthusiastic people to join their team. They offer flexible schedules, training, as well as competitive wages. So some of you are in a situation, a position where you're not able to work. I suspect we'll be in a very different place come this summer. So if you're interested in applying, you can go to WDSRA.com and click the Join Our Team button. Virtual interviews are now going on. So again, WDSRA.com, click the Join Our Team button to apply for a summer position. So getting back to Enabling Love. Hey, Laura, tell us a little bit, you know, what enabling means. Because, you know, many of us have heard that term. And without getting too clinical, you know, what is your, you know, understanding of that?
Well, enabling can have a positive or negative effect, actually. If we want to enable somebody to do well, to go to college, to have the next best job and, you know, maybe the best home life they can have, there's positive ways to do that. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with addictions or other behaviors that are suspect, you can enable people right into it even more so by the simplest term is stepping in and doing for them what they are capable and should be doing for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it can start when they're young, you know, what are they able to do for themselves that you're doing? Oh, are they not cleaning something well enough? And you say, I'll do this. Never mind, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Or is there some other, you know, school homework, different things. Parents are really bad at kind of stepping in and taking over for things their children should be learning on their own. And I was no different.
Yeah.
You know, I enabled them right into a lot of situations. I'm not going to say that I, the big three C's of recovery are you didn't cause it, you can't cure it, and you can't control it. I caused it, but I am going to say I didn't, you know, I certainly helped it. And never. I don't think there's any parent out there that wants to say they did that on purpose. It's so unknowingly that you're doing these things because you're just in that desperate state of mind. Mm-hmm. So enabling, like I say, it has two different positions depending on where you're standing in life. But you have to be very cautious of enabling somebody into very bad behaviors or lifestyle.
Yeah, I think again as parents, I think the inclination is to jump in to save the rescue, and I think too that parents, you know, really have a hard time seeing their children deal with frustration. And so there's an inclination to, you know, kind of put that out too. But it's in allowing our kids to deal with frustration that they learn how to be more competent, more confident, to realize that they can handle whatever it is on their own and that they'll get better handling whatever it is with the more, you know, experience and practice they have. So I agree with you. There's a really fine line there between enabling, you know, negative behaviors versus, you know, really encouraging and really trying to empower your kids into working through that frustration and arriving at solutions on their own, or allowing them to, you know, get back up, you know, one more time until they finally master whatever it is. But, but you know, tell me, how did you decide to write this novel? Was it a series of your blogs or what?
Well, that's exactly what it was. A number of friends who would read some of my writings were very encouraging to me and said, you really need to put this into a book. And so I began the pathway of that. And it was a labor of love, I'll say that, because, you know, you write and you put your thoughts down, and then you begin to become your own editor.
So you know, we tend to be our own worst critic, too, right?
Yes, indeed. So I did choose, you know, most of what I had at the time, although really probably only a third, if that, at this time, because I think I published it in maybe 2011 or 12, but I really began the process 2 years prior, and so it was slow. It depended on what was going on in life, because though I was writing and getting some healing, I was still in the midst of a lot of mess with the situation at hand. So there were times that I would, you know, have kind of a breakaway from it. But nevertheless, it did come together due to the different posts I had written, and some were healing, and some were questioning, and some were, you know, little hurrahs in my life of changes being made and something miraculous happening that I could say, oh, we've got a little victory here. So that's what I did. I put those into a book. And I, in retrospect, I wished that I had finished with where I would today, is to say that, you know, today this child of mine, this grown man, is healed from addiction, and he is living a life entirely different from that of the addict so many years ago. And a lot of people cannot claim that. You know, I am thankful, very blessed, and very thankful for the fact that he is still with us today, and he has no signs of having been an addict in his, you know, well-being and his behavior. So
that's huge.
You know
that took so much courage on both of your parts, you know, to step out in the faith, and for you to kind of, you know, put your hands up and say, you know, I have to trust that I need to take care of myself right now, and that's the right thing to do, and I'm going to have to, you know, put my faith in you or God or the universe or whomever and say, I'm just going to have to trust that you're going to work this out and that you're going to find your way back from, you know, this nightmare. And so it took so much courage on both of your parts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see in our practice all the time, you know, parents dealing with, you know, issues related to enabling and substance abuse issues. And it's so hard just to, you know, back off and really focus on yourself, because that's not, you know, the instinct of a parent. But that's really what has to happen, because the truth is no one can save someone from themselves. You know, the best therapist in the world can't save their client. The only doctor that can heal you is really you. And it sounds like you really worked on trying to heal yourself through your writings, you know, through, you know, the support group, through, you know, maybe your own individual search for meaning. And that's, you know, and that's something I want you to shed a little bit more light on when we come back, because I would love to dive into, you know, learning a little bit about what some of these different posts are. You know, you talk about a promise is a promise and letting go and practicing the pause. So let's talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen.
Do you or a loved one suffer from depression and medications just aren't working, or the debilitating side effects associated with most antidepressants make them impossible to take, we can help. At the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness, we offer transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. TMS is a safe and effective, drug-free treatment option that can dramatically improve your quality of life. In fact, the majority of our clients experience a significant improvement in mood, with many achieving complete remission. TMS uses MRI technology to gently stimulate areas of the brain that are underactive in people suffering from depression. TMS is FDA approved for the treatment of depression and has also been shown to be effective in treating other mood disorders like OCD, PTSD, and anxiety. TMS therapy is covered by most insurance companies, including Medicare. If medications aren't working for you now, chances are they never will. Let us help. Call the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness at 630-980-1400 for an immediate consultation. That's 630-980-1400. Or visit us online at thecifhw.com.
A complete solution for your joint pain is here and without surgery. The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damage, restoring normal function, even walk out the same day. It's the only treatment center in Illinois offering a one-year guarantee for this procedure. Trust the thousands of patients who got their life back. Call us today or visit thecifhw.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. You're listening to our show today titled Enabling Love with my very special guest, author Laura McAlpin. She's the author of Enabling Love. She's also the author of enablinglove.blogspot. Hey, if you've missed any of the show, I want you to catch a rebroadcast on this great station or on our website. It is thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. Hey, Laura, if our listeners want to check out, you know, some of your work, if they want to pick up your book, where can they find it?
Well, the book is available initially on Amazon.com, mm-hmm. But I imagine if they Google it, they may find other places, you know, where maybe they might find a used copy or new, but it is available in paperback and hard copy. To be honest with you, I don't know if it's still retailing. The hard copy is about $20, maybe a little bit more.
Worth every penny. Just going to say, because it's not, you know, you're not paying for the binder or the printing, you're paying for the message, right? And so if your message can help save a life or heal a family, oh my gosh, $20 is, that's nothing, right? That's nothing.
Yeah.
So Amazon.com, Enabling Love, Laura McAlpin. So, so let's dive right in. So some of your blogs, I mean, they just sound like they would just touch someone right to the core. Talk to me about Practice the Pause.
Well, the interesting thing, and of course now with the current state of affairs we're under, all of this is really relevant. People are getting it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Practice the Pause really works in areas for addiction, alcoholism, whatever it is, because generally speaking, the family members who are supporting somebody or loving somebody, trying to walk with them, addicts have a great way of coming at you with the big con or the big rush.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is immediate. Everything is urgent. I have to have it right now. And it can throw a parent in particular in a panic place that if I don't do this, they're going to die. You know, if I don't go and pick them up, they're going to die. If I don't give them $10 because they owe somebody, they're going to die. They're going to kill them. I mean, I've heard all the stories, and but that is the mindset that you're in, and it's quickly triggered by their voice when they call you in this state of need. So I had to learn over this time to step back and wait, just to say, I'll think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Call me back in an hour, you know, because what you're doing, if you're responding to every immediate thing, well, pretty soon you've depleted your own resources, your money.
You're constantly
your food,
in a state of fight or flight, right?
All the time, yes. And usually you're giving it away. And so I've met a number of people, and, you know, myself, I'm 65 now, and I'm in a place where I'm still trying to make up for some lost years financially, and I won't put it all on that at all. However, it doesn't help, you know. So you find that you would give your last breath, and there's something wrong with that. So it's learning to stop and pause and saying, I need time to think about this and let me work it through. And sometimes it's even a day that you just have to process through.
Right.
I this whole recovery business, I'm a woman of faith, and so, but having gone through this took me deeper, and I was finally able to learn the process of trusting God. He says, he always tells us, I mean, the scriptures are full of it, all you have is today to take care of. Hang on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Stop worrying about tomorrow, next year, next week. There's some verses that talk about he takes care of the birds of the air. They always have enough to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's learning to just sort of step back and go, wait, what's really happening, and what part can I help, or what part do I have to just let it ride? And that was a big lesson for me.
So, very big. You're learning that not everything is a crisis. And again, you can't save, you know, your son, or you can't save someone from themselves. You know, I'll often teach my clients what I call, you know, being in alignment. So I'll say, all right, you've got your thoughts, your feelings, and your gut instinct, you know.
Yeah.
And no matter, you know, what the question is, whether it's a question you're asking yourself, you know, should I jump in? Should I do this? Should I not? Or if it's something someone else is putting on you, hey, you know, Laura, or hey, Dr. Amy, or hey, so-and-so, can you XYZ? Do a quick check to see if your thoughts, feelings, and gut instinct are in alignment. Are they all lining up to say yes?
Yeah.
Are they all lining up to say no? And here's the thing. If you're out of alignment, you should always say not now. So it's kind of like your pause, practice a pause. Not now, because not now gives you that opportunity to get clarity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, you get to be really, really good at recognizing what things are a real crisis and what things aren't. But it's still scary as heck, you know, in the early stages when you're going through it, when you're learning to practice the pause, as you say. So that's a remarkable skill for anyone to develop, you know, whether you're in a situation, you know, whether you're dealing with addictions, or, you know, feeling overwhelmed at work, or even, you know, asking yourself, you know, should I take on one more thing? Because, you know, maybe you don't have the bandwidth. So I love that practicing the pause. What about letting go? Because you wrote a very beautiful blog on letting go. Tell us about that.
Well, letting go is also another, you know, we hear these cliche phrases so often, and we throw them out rather flippantly at times, because to us, you know, the letting go may not be as much about somebody's life. Maybe you're just letting go of a behavior, and that's not really a small thing either, but, you know, we just do like to make light of so many things. But letting go and let it go has been around people in the chaos of addiction for a long time. And so I was at a meeting, and a mom came in, and she was new, brand new, and it's such a raw place when you first begin to allow yourself to go somewhere and admit this problem that's bigger than you. And she was just distraught, and she went through the whole situation about her daughter, and she said, I can't do this. You know, she was crying. How can I let her go? I don't know how. I just can't do it. And we all understood her pain. It was so real, and so it brought people, I'm sure, to memories they would rather not have. But this one very wise woman who'd been going to these meetings a long time shared her story that she had heard from somebody that when we let things go, you know, when you think about something you're handling with love and care that you own, maybe you have a beautiful vase, or you have a picture frame, or a handed down piece of china that you've had in the family for many years. When you're going to let it go, because you don't need it at the moment, you don't just drop it and let it go and shred into a million pieces. You carefully think about where you're going to put that thing for safekeeping. Where is it going to be that nobody's going to knock it over, or, you know, chip it or forget about it? And she said, when you're letting go of something, well, you know, we're not saying the whole thing, the letting go, the let it go and let God is the second part of that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So however what your faith is or what you believe, you have to surrender this thing carefully into the hands of whatever for me, it's God, that would lovingly care for this thing as much as you do. And of course, being a mom, to me, that was, of course, God's going to love him better than I do. So putting him back into God's hands was a very healing thought, that I'm not just letting it go and walking away in anger. Oh, no, I'm putting him back into the hands of his own creator and saying,
you have to trust.
He's safe there. Yeah.
You have to trust and demonstrate that faith.
Mm-hmm. And so that brings about a great deal of peace to yourself, because that also allows you to say, that problem's not mine. I let that go back to God. Mm-hmm. He can deal with him on it. He can deal with him on these things and let them find their place. And so that letting go and letting God gives you a great amount of peace that you, it's a simple practice, and you might have to do that.
Well, it's simple in theory, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's, but it's worth every minute of peace you're going to get from it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hey, so, it kind of reminds me of, just letting go of the pain and heartache of anything. There was a time in my life when I was going through my divorce, and I would go out on runs just to get peace of mind, and I had this mantra at the time, just let it go and let it flow. And I just imagined my troubles, my burdens were just kind of flowing down a river and just heading out to sea, and that was so helpful, because and sometimes it's just like letting go a little bit of that burden a little bit at a time, because it's not like we unload it all at once. So it really is a process. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more about enabling love. And, you talk about a promise as a promise. I want to learn more about that. So stick around. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Newon, with my very special guest, Laura McAlpin.
The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damaged tissue, restoring normal function.
The procedures were easy, comfortable, and left me feeling pain-free. I can dance, run, and jump again if I want to.
3 decades of pain in my back and neck injuries I suffered in active duty. The doctor has me nearly 100% pain-free now, and I never thought that was possible.
Trust the thousands who got their life back. Book an appointment today.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Newon. As you know, I'm a double board certified integrative and now interventional clinical psychologist with a postgraduate specialization in functional medicine. I'm also a board certified forensic clinical psychologist, as well as a certified wellness instructor, author, and speaker. So you're listening to our show today titled Enabling Love with our very special guest, Laura McAlpin. So if you've missed any of this show, you can catch a rebroadcast on our website. It is thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. We invite you to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also catch a podcast on SoundCloud, as well as Google Play and Apple iTunes. And we also want to invite you to strengthen your immune system now more than ever. We're going to be doing some Facebook Live events to help you take control back of your health. So on Thursday, April 9th at 6 p.m., we're doing Understanding and Reversing Thyroid Disorders. Thursday, April 16th, it's Resolving Depression and Anxiety with Transcranial Magnetic Stimulation. Thursday, April 23rd, it's Resolving Autoimmune Disorders. So again, each Thursday in April, we're going to be talking about what you can do right now to strengthen your mind, your body, your spirit, and your resolve during this critical time. So join us at facebook.com/thecifhw. Again, facebook.com/thecifhw. So we're talking about really coming to terms with, our ability to let go and to trust and to let God or the universe or whomever take care of the burden, and really talking about the need to take care of yourself. But it's so hard to do that as a parent, just to let go and just trust, that you have to take care of yourself and then allow your children to find a way to begin to take care of themselves. And you really wrote this book out of a place of heartache and fear, of love, and just seeking a place of solace and comfort. And it really, kind of demonstrates just what courage you had just to bare your soul and then to make that public, to put yourself, and your very, very, tender, loving, and courageous story out to other people. And so you started publishing your blogs. And so you wrote one called A Promise is a Promise. Tell me about that.
Well, this one, this particular post was written in honor of my parents. And and really with enabling love, we're constantly in a place of life-changing events, I think. Mm-hmm. Some are small, some are big. Well, my mother was diagnosed with a progressive supranuclear palsy, which is an atypical form of Parkinson's disease. When she was diagnosed, it was around 2000, and it was quite unknown. Even most of the doctors that we were visiting didn't know anything about it. So we did happen to find one specialist, a neurologist, that knew more about it than most of the locals, but there was nothing you could do for it. It doesn't respond to medication. It's similar to a Lou Gehrig's or ALS. Mm-hmm. So her mind was there, but her ability to speak her mind was taken. Her ability to just get up and walk and do laundry, cook a meal, or take her shower herself was taken away. So little by little, it goes away. And so the promise kept was written because I came back. I was living out of state at the time, out of Michigan. So I came back to Michigan when I had been home on a visit that summer, and I had seen how my mother was declining. I also saw how my father was changing.
Sure.
He was so intent on my mother's every need, but there was clearly this anger oozing off of him. And he just seemed to be doing this almost enabling thing, that pouring his own life into her and not taking care of himself, mm-hmm. which it's the first time I've ever even said this, because I just realized that's what he was doing. And I thought, gosh, I'm going to lose my mother and my father if things don't change. Now, we're a big family, but my parents had retired north in Michigan, mm-hmm. so there wasn't really anybody around except one other sister who was an hour away at best. So I had opted to come home, and I watched my dad help care for my mother, and I began to pick up some of that. And in the process of time, it allowed him to resume a few things that he loved to do. One was he sang in a barbershop chorus, and he loved to play bridge. So he was able to get back and do some of those self-care things that he really needed. And amazingly, when he would come home after one of those outings, his whole frame of mind was so different than the other days, because he was allowed to be himself and get a breath of fresh air and come back to her in a fresh new way, too. Mm-hmm. So they had over 50 years of marriage before this all began to go downhill, and they raised 9 children.
Wow. Hey, I'm the youngest of 10. I can totally relate to that.
Yes. So you know how it is. Yeah. And, you know, we were raised in a pretty busy household. A lot of kids creates that. And my mom and dad, though, they had some little things they did together that were kind of peculiar, or particular, I'll say, to their relationship. And we came from a singing house, so my dad and mom would sing together a lot, probably the songs they loved from their generation. And oftentimes my dad would lead it with the first line, and my mother would come in and sing the second, and this little banter went back and forth. And so, you know, these things were starting to be taken away. But I found that with my dad, he would do that. He would feed her a line, and she would muster up everything she could mm-hmm. to, you know, play her part in it. And we would just, it was just a thrill to hear her
do it.
Because there was so much effort to do it on her part. It was a huge effort. But what I realized through watching this marriage in the latter days of their life, they were both still committed to this marriage. My father was still committed to my mother.
Wow.
And the little things that they had been doing for years that were already put in place as routine became a stability at this point now.
Wow. So that's the promise. They made a promise to one another.
Yeah.
For better
and
or for worse.
There was a book written by a Robertson McQuilkin in, I don't know, the late 90s. And his book was titled A Promise Kept. Mm-hmm. And he started out that book by stating that the statistics were very high that when a woman is diagnosed with something, and in his case, his wife was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, how many of the men leave the marriage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hear that all the time in my practice. You know, you know, I got breast cancer and my husband divorced me.
Yeah. You know. And so it's tragic. And so here I was watching somebody live this out, this commitment day to day. And so when my mother did pass away after several years of this, there was a luncheon for her up north in the area they lived. And everybody was saying to my father or to his kids, you know, boy, your dad, he, I don't know how he, I don't think my husband would do that. I'm shocked at what I would see when your dad would bring her in to go for a meal. You know, just little things that were applauding my father's behavior, basically.
Yeah.
And he said a few words at this luncheon to say, you know, everybody keeps telling me what a great husband I was or that they couldn't have done what I did. But he said, in my day, when you made a promise, you kept that promise. A promise is a promise.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, you know, our current culture doesn't really make or keep promises very well. And so it really was impactful. And to watch it be lived and played out was deeply profound.
Yeah, no, I imagine that had to just be, you know, a beautiful aha moment unfolding over these many days and weeks and years. And you're right, we live in a very disposable culture, you know, my microwave, the car, this phone. And we do that with our relationships. I'll just get a divorce. But I think now more than ever, we need to focus on realigning our values. And so I was so excited to have you on the show because this is a realigning of values in many ways. It's like really recognizing what your role is as a mother, you know, as a daughter, you know, as, you know, someone that is helping other people overcome, you know, their situations. And it really, this is a beautiful opportunity for all of us to realign our values and ask ourselves what's really important. I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's our health, it's our relationships, it's, you know, our loved ones. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about what you can do to count your blessings and keep moving forward. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris. Now I'm with my very special guest, Laura McAlpin.
A complete solution for your joint pain is here and without surgery. The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damage, restoring normal function, even walk out the same day. It's the only treatment center in Illinois offering a one-year guarantee for this procedure. Trust the thousands of patients who got their life back. Call us today or visit thecifhw.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer from depression and medications just aren't working? Or the debilitating side effects associated with most antidepressants make them impossible to take? We can help. At the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness, we offer transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. TMS is a safe and effective, drug-free treatment option that can dramatically improve your quality of life. In fact, the majority of our clients experience a significant improvement in mood, with many achieving complete remission. TMS uses MRI technology to gently stimulate areas of the brain that are underactive in people suffering from depression. TMS is FDA approved for the treatment of depression and has also been shown to be effective in treating other mood disorders like OCD, PTSD, and anxiety. TMS therapy is covered by most insurance companies, including Medicare. If medications aren't working for you now, chances are they never will. Let us help. Call the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness at 630-980-1400 for an immediate consultation. That's 630-980-1400. Or visit us online at thecifhw.com.
All right. Welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris, new on with our very special guest, author Laura McAlpin. She is the author of Enabling Love. If you missed any of the show, you can check us out online at thecifhw.com. We're going to have a post of this radio show, or you can go to this great station. You can check it out on Google Play or Apple iTunes or SoundCloud.com. Hey, I just want to send a shout out real quick to Western DuPage Special Recreation Association. They are counting their blessings, but they're also counting on you to help them run their summer program. So they are doing virtual interviews right now. If you would like to be a part of a very great, very, very wonderful organization, Western DuPage Special Recreation Association. Please visit WDSRA.com and click the Join Our Team button. They are providing recreational services for children, teens, and adults with special needs, and they are hiring. So those of you who are thinking about what maybe you need to do next, please consider applying at Western DuPage Special Recreation Association. They're looking for enthusiastic people to join. They've got flexible schedules, training, and competitive wages. So WDSRA.com. So we're talking about Enabling Love, and you've got this really awesome blog spot, enablinglove.blogspot. You've come through this journey of really, you know, realizing that you need to save your life in order for your son to be able to find himself and save himself. And through part of your healing journey, you really decided to use writing as a very cathartic outlet. And it led you to a series of blogs that you eventually put into the book, Enabling Love. Let's talk about, you know, counting your blessings and what you can do to keep moving forward, you know, while we've got just a little bit of time here.
Okay. Well, counting your blessings is another one of those cliches that we sometimes forget to do. And in this current state of affairs with the coronavirus, what better time to start looking around and instead of going to the doom side of it, start counting your blessings and look ahead. I've made the habit or practice of when I first wake up, I start right away with thank you for my bed. Thank you for a place of shelter that's warm and dry. Thank you for, you know, whatever it may be. Everybody has something that they can be thankful for. And we need to get into that habit of counting our blessings, or we'll always be thinking that we don't have what we need, we don't have enough, and we'll be grasping for something more when it's probably right in our midst. And again, that's something that took me a little bit of practice, because not that I wanted more, but I didn't see the blessing of the fact that, oh, my son is still alive. That's a blessing. Oh, we got through a half a day without any issues. We got through 2 days without, you know, any more issues he hasn't used in this number of days. A lot of times with chaos living, you don't look for the good. You wait for the next shoe to drop.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, so that's a real practice that you have to pull back and take, there again, the here and now. What do I have today that I can be thankful for? What blessings have I had in my life today? Do you have a job? Are you going to your job every day? Do you have a car to get there?
Do you have your health?
You've got good transit. You have your health. You have a good friend. Hopefully you have at least one good friend that you can lean on through these days. So the blessings are all around us.
Oh, yeah.
Again, if we practice the pause, we can start counting our blessings a little easier, because chaos isn't the rule of the day.
No.
So it stops the spinning.
Yeah. You've got to realize, you know, find a place for hope and exercise good faith, extend love, extend kindness, count your blessings. Because guess what? All of that not only feels good, it not only settles us and grounds us, but guess what? It bolsters our immune functioning.
Yeah,
not even Kenya. So counting your blessings. And now is such a unique time that, you know, we have the opportunity to do that. Like I said, again, start realigning your values. Ask yourself what's really important. You know, where do my blessings lie? Because, you know, we live in such an abundant time, despite, you know, the fear and the anxiety and the uncertainty. There is so much goodness. And I have to tell you, I'm realizing more and more, you know, just how blessed I am and how grateful I am for the people in my life. But I'm going to recommend to all of you out there listening to the show that you do more of that. I'm sure you do a lot of it, but I'm going to recommend you do more of it, because it just adds more goodness to the whole. And again, we're all interdependent. With that, though, how do we keep moving forward, Laura? You know, we've got just, you know, a few more minutes. What do you find that helps you move forward?
Well, I think the thing about moving forward, we can set our steps for that. We don't need to always be trying to take mountains. We need to take just some steps. And sometimes keep moving forward just means staying present in the day, allows you to handle what's going on right now, and then you take a little bit of another step forward. And I used to spend a lot of time with the in the mind game of if only I had said, or if this or if that, that I wasn't allowing myself to move forward into new things. I was going backwards. So you have to keep moving forward in the piece of the day that you have in front of you. So it might be a small accomplishment. What's your goal this week? There's a lot of opportunity right now to do a little decluttering.
Yeah.
Okay, can you get one bag of stuff together and get it out? You know, they may seem small and minute, but those are the kinds of goals I had to set, because there was just so much chaos in the background of my life that I had years to clean up. And in fact, I'm in the process of it still, because I struggle to let go of some of these things from way back when and realize they're not really, you know, productive to my current life. Somebody else can enjoy that. So the moving forward is just setting small goals. Take a good look at the situation that you're in. If you have to practice a pause, practice it for the purpose of moving next. So what are those things? And you're not too old to start a new goal.
Right,
you haven't wasted all the years to have something new, because each day is new to itself. It's a promise of its own, and so you can set a new goal. Are you hoping to, you know, learn to cook something? Are you going to be a chef? Do you want to take a cooking class, an art class? You know, write a blog, write a book.
I just want somebody to cook for me.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm fortunate that I count my blessings to know that I've got a wonderful partner, Renee. I love you.
Yeah,
and she does cook for me, too. But I like what you said about taking things, you know, in baby steps, move forward, set small goals. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes that's all we can do is, but here's the power in small, is that small after small after small compounds, right?
Yes.
And especially now, you know, so many of us have a shelter in place order, and it's like, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about we move forward? Why don't we set a small goal of decluttering that office, or, you know, cleaning out that bin, and just let those small things compound. And it's much like we need to do when we're nurturing a broken heart or working through any loss. Sometimes we just need to take it, you know, 1 minute at a time, or 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time. But as long as you keep putting one more foot forward, then I think you're going to, you know, you're going to move through the storm. And I like to say every storm blows itself out. We just have to keep, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, and realize, as Maya Angelou said, you know, there's a rainbow, you know, and so having that faith, keeping the promise, you know, working on letting go of the things, you know, that we can't control, or letting go of those resentments, you know, that we've nurtured over the years with so much attention and so much, you know, intense emotion, and then realizing that, hey, there's wisdom in practicing the pause, you know, and if I do that, I can begin to, you know, experience this loving attachment, and really puts you in a position, again, being grounded, counting your blessings, and then you're in a position to move forward. So, Laura, I have to tell you, I really respect your journey. I really am so grateful that you took the time to bless me on the show, to really, you know, bless our listeners with the great work you're doing, because it touches so many lives. I don't think anyone, you know, out there doesn't know of somebody that hasn't dealt with addictions. And again, when we talk about enabling, it's not just addictions. It's, you know, enabling, you know, our kids not to take responsibility or whatever it is. So to recognize when that love actually becomes harmful, and then what you can do to kind of turn things around. And again, practice that loving detachment is huge. And so I want to thank you for coming on the show. And listeners, I want to thank you for joining in. And then real quick, I want to invite you to join us on Facebook.com/TheCIFHW. You can catch a podcast on our Facebook of this show. Also, I want to invite you to bolster your immune system now more than ever. Understand how thyroid disorders, depression, anxiety, autoimmune disorders all put you at risk for, you know, compromises in your body, mind, and spirit. And now more than ever, it's our responsibility to love ourselves and focus on self-care. And that means taking care of our health so we can take care of others and do right by others. Laura, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen.